On today's Church Tech Cast Q&A show, shotgun mics, podcasting, and YouTube. Hi everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church Tech Cast Q&A show. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to ask your questions. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. You'll find all my contact information there, including my email address, which is paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, my Twitter handle, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllenCliff, and the phone number, 1-877-PodEcho, 1-877-763-3246. And, of course, you can always leave your comments or questions below this video, whether it's on trinitydigitalmedia.com or on YouTube. So I'll just get started here in just a second with the questions after I thank all of those of you who have made this show and all the churchtechcast.com shows possible by heading over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulallencliff. patreon.com/paulallencliff. I've got tons of reward levels over there, everything from $5 a month all the way up to $100 a month. There are various reward levels, and I would love if you could partner with me in making these shows possible. So, I have all kinds of fun questions for us, from kind of shortish to very longish and everything in between. So, let's get started. First off, David Shrine hit me up on Twitter, and he said, Paul, question. I need a shotgun mic. What do I get? Well, the answer actually depends on your budget. This is the one that I use, and I'm not 100% satisfied with it, but it's also kind of a budget entry. So this is the Natty SGM-12. SGM, I'm assuming, stands for shotgun mic. How crazy is that? But I did have another one before this, an Audio Technica, and the Audio Technica mic had an 1/8-inch plug, so it was meant to plug directly into a DSLR or a prosumer camcorder. And while that's fine, if you need to extend the reach of that, it just wasn't working for me. I kept getting all sorts of buzz and hum. So here I want to show you this Natty mic, which isn't as, the signal isn't as hot as the Audio Technica, which I believe was a 6550, but it has this, an XLR connection. So that means I can connect this to either a source that has phantom power, or it also has a place for a AA battery, so it doesn't need phantom power to work. And it came in this nice black plastic case with a little bitty windscreen, which won't do as much as a dead cat would. By the way, not a literally dead cat, a windscreen made out of fur. So it wouldn't do as much as a windscreen made out of fur. Here, I'll put that back in just a minute. But it's better than nothing a lot of times. So I've used basically three different shotgun mics. The Audio Technica 6550, which is fine for entry level. It gives you a good hot signal. The SGM-12 by Natty, which is okay, the signal-to-noise ratio isn't horrid, and it's very budget. And one final one, which is the Rode, I believe it's the SGM-2. And That one is, you'll know which one I'm talking about when you look up the Rode mic. It's a good long shotgun mic, which is part of how they work well in rejecting side noise, is their length. And also, what it does is it has the XLR on the end. So I'm not talking about the Rode video mic. I'm talking about a traditional shotgun mic. It has a place for a battery, or you can use phantom power. And that's nice to have that flexibility. So that's why I recommend that one over the SGM-1, which is a little less expensive, but it doesn't have a battery. So if you're in a situation where you don't have phantom power, you'd be out of luck with that one. So those are the kind of the three that I recommend. The ATR6550, if you're exclusively going into a camcorder that has an 1/8-inch jack and it's got the ability to monitor the signal and the preamps are good and everything like that, that's a fine shotgun. The cable is permanently attached. It came with a good warranty, but still, if you need to make a longer connection using an XLR, because I tried to adapt it back to XLR, use an XLR, and then adapt it, no, not so much worky-worky. In fact, one shoot I went on, I couldn't get anything other than buzz with it. So I don't think that that's one, if you're going to be in that situation where it's off of your camera, where it's closer to the talent or the subject, as the case may be. Okay? So, if you don't have much money, I think generally I'd go for the Natty. If you can pay a couple of hundred, I think the Rode is like $250, $300, something in that range, then that's the one I'd go for. I think it's got a better sound and a better signal. Next, this is from Cyril Vanderwalt. He's actually South African, and he's going to be doing some podcasting for his church. I'll skip past that since I've already introduced him. We're going to start with audio and later video, too. I have started getting gear together, and it is quite an exciting experience for me, but I am starting to wonder about my choices. I have a laptop, no problems there. I got an Alesis IO2 Express. Audio quality is great. Got a Samson CO3. Way too sensitive. Waiting for Shure SM58 right now. By the way, just in general, condenser mics are great when you have control over your environment. And that's, I believe, the Samson CO3 is a condenser mic. Might be a large diaphragm microphone of the other variety, the dynamic variety, but I don't think so. But the SM58 is a dynamic microphone. But I saw a new thing now. Audio interfaces working with iPad. This looks very interesting. I can't seem to record to my laptop on the IO2 and to an external audio recorder simultaneously. This is now my next step I'm looking at. I saw a possible candidate, the Personas i2, but I can't confirm yet that it will be able to record to PC and iPad simultaneously. Do you maybe have any recommendations, please? I've been following some of your episodes, and I really enjoyed them a lot. Well, thanks a lot, Cyril. Hope to hear from you soon. Blessings. Okay, so here is what I would recommend if you were starting from scratch, an external recorder. I know you didn't mention it whatsoever. This is a Zoom H4, which they don't make anymore. They do, in fact, make the H4N, which is just a newer version, eliminate some of the issues with the H4. So I'd go with the Zoom H4N. And on the side of this, it has two outputs. It's got a headphone output and a line output. So what you could do is you could take that out and go line level, I guess I don't have my Griffin iMic at the desk with me, line level into a Griffin iMic or something like that, or even a USB audio interface like you're talking about, and that would work. So I need to look up the Alesis IO2 Express. It could be that it's got an analog out, in which case you could go out analog from that, and then out USB. I believe it's a digital to audio converter. Out USB to your computer and get recording in both ways. One thing that I've noticed is it is possible to record onto the iPad. It's possible to use the camera connection kit, which has a USB deal on it, to connect your iPad via USB to some sort of digital audio converter. But I don't know of anything that sends out two different USB signals at the same time for two different devices. I don't know of anything like that. So my guess would be you're probably going to have to go USB on one and analog on the other. Now you could convert it again, analog to digital, to go into the second device. Or you could even go into an analog microphone in jack, and that might solve your problem. Okay, so Mark S. asked me, are you familiar with YouTube? If so, how about their in-video programming? Again, if so, why can't I make my subscribe button larger? I uploaded a 750 by 140 image, but YouTube keeps resizing it. Any ideas? So, turns out what he was trying to do is something like what Derek Halperin has. But I think that the problem is the 750 is getting in the way of the 140. So all the recommendations I found online said to use a square image, so 140 by 140, for example, or 750 by 750, for example, and YouTube would resize it. It's not very large. In fact, if you're watching this on YouTube and you've got annotations turned on, you might notice, here I'm going to try, right about here is my in-video programming annotation, right in there. And that in-video programming annotation allows you to click on it, scroll down and click subscribe, etc. And that works fine. But I think you want to optimize it for the largest dimension, not the smallest dimension, and I think that's what's going on. Now, when it comes to moving annotations, like you see something that slides in towards the bottom and says, hey, don't forget to subscribe to me, that's most likely video that was added to the site and then an annotation added on top of that to where when you click it, it makes it subscribe. So let me show you how to tell that for sure. When you're watching a video, if you see one that you like and you think, huh, is that in video content or is that something, and by in video content, I actually mean the in video programming where you can give YouTube a logo and they'll pop that up on your screen, or something that was edited into the video. So what you do is you pause where that bad boy is, and what I want you to do is go down to the bottom, there's a little gear icon, and there's, when you click that, there's a choice to turn annotations on or off. Turn it off. Turn annotations off just for a second and see if that thing goes away. If it goes away, then that's the in-video programming. If it stays, then what you've got is something edited into the video with a transparent annotation on top of it. See the difference? So, something edited into the video can be anything that you imagine. something, but that in-video programming logo is only a certain size. You can only get it so big, and you can optimize it by making it square, but you're not going to get any bigger than a certain size. So I hope that helps you. So how about you? Do you have any questions or comments that you'd like to leave? Don't forget, leave them below. If you like this show, make sure that you share it with people. It's no big deal to share. In fact, I'd actually prefer it. So just forward it on to them, forward a link, etc., and just help out other people that way. If you haven't, go ahead and subscribe. Subscribe either here on YouTube or subscribe on my website, which you can do by going to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe. If you're already subscribed and you think, man, this is a good show, do me a favor, head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews, and I've got all the links to the iTunes versions of the show, and you can just click on one of those and it'll take you right to where you can write a review. All I need is a sentence. A sentence, 4 or 5 stars, golden. That would just help me to climb the charts in iTunes and make this content more visible to more people. So I hope that that helps you in all that you do, and I hope that you'll use this information as you're going out and changing eternity. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.